理课堂听 class.com。
Model Test 8, Section A.
11. Isn't it rather cold outside, Sally?
It is a bit, but I can't stand the terrible smoke inside. I'd rather stay here if you don't mind. You know, fresh air makes me more comfortable.
Question. Why does the woman want to stay outside? You know, I'm just not too sure if the new salary will be high enough, or even the new position is really what I want. Besides, I like the work that I am doing now.
It sounds as though you've already made up your mind about what you're going to do.
Question. What is the man thinking about?
13. I'm looking for a textbook for my psychology course. It's called Introduction to Educational Psychology. Do you have it?
Yes, we do. You'll find it in section 24 on the top shelf.
Question. What's the man's occupation?14. Oh, this is a beautiful city. I'm really glad I've brought my camera.
Yes, there are lots of things to take pictures of here, but I hope you will not plan to spend all your time snapping. I have some friends who would like to meet you.
Question. What does the man want the woman to do?15. How was the job interview? I think you'll make a good journalist. I remember you as the best writer in the class.
Well, in fact, my application was turned down. They were looking for people with experience in the profession.
Question. Why didn't the man get the job?16. You wanted to see me, Mr. Gray?
Yes, Miss Wright. You'll have to start getting to work on time or your service will no longer be needed here.
Question. What happened to Miss Wright?17. We've lived here in Ho Farm for 5 years now, and I think it's time to have the house painted.
You're right. Mr. Churchill, our neighbor, just had his house painted. But we cannot afford the fee unless we do it ourselves.
Question. What do we learn about the speakers?18. I still can't get over the show last Saturday evening. I keep having nightmares all night.
So, next time, before you walk into a theater, make sure what you are going to see. I don't want to hear your complaints again, and it is kind of wasting money, too.
Question. What do we learn from this conversation?Now you'll hear two long conversations. Conversation 1.
Why do you think that way?
While I admit there is very little discrimination here on campus towards orientation, appearance, and nationality, women are not treated equally. Women are not represented in many faculties. They also hold fewer senior faculty positions, are not represented well in administration, and, do you know, not once has there been a female president of the student union?
You are running for president of the student union on an issue of equality. But you are not going to be a winner, I suppose. Most students feel women have equality nowadays.
Not the students I have talked to, particularly the women. My brother is a lawyer, and he says the women in his firm have to work much harder than the men if they want to become a partner in the firm.
So you are going to champion women's rights for the election?
Yes, my campaign will focus on that. But I will not ignore other issues such as transportation, cafeterias, and so on. I have been a student here for 4 years and am aware of all the issues. If I can make this campus a better place for all students, then, as a woman, I would be setting an excellent role model. And I am sure I can do a better job than Jerry did this year.
What did Jerry accomplish this year?
Next to nothing. He put pressure on the cafeterias to be a little more environmentally friendly, but that is all about it.
19. What is the main reason for the woman's running for president of the students' union?
Why does the woman mention her brother?
21. What does the woman think of Jerry?
2. Hello, Dr. Christensen.
Hello, Kathy. What can I do for you?
Well, I need an extension for my report on whales. Next Wednesday, I'm supposed to present it in class and hand my report in, but I won't be ready.
You had 6 weeks to work on this, and I have a policy of penalizing heavily for late assignments. You lose 20% the first day, and 10% for each day after.
Well, my computer broke down, and I lost everything. I have taken the computer into the campus computer center, but they cannot retrieve any of my files.
I can sympathize with the computer issue because it happened to me once when I was a student. My computer crashed just as I was on the last page of a 10,000-word essay. I assume this will be a lesson to you.
Oh, yes.
Well, let's look at the calendar and see if there is another opportunity for your presentation and report.
What about on November 29th?
Let me see. No, that wouldn't work as Jane Clark is doing her presentation that day.
I'm not sure if I can get it finished much sooner, as I have to start writing the report from scratch.
Well, perhaps I can allow you to hand in your report on November 29th, but the presentation must be sooner. Looking at my calendar, the only possible day would be November 22nd. Rob Metcalf was supposed to present on that day, but I understand he was in a serious car accident and had to withdraw from university.
I didn't know that.
So, we have arranged for you to present on November 22nd and hand in your report on November 29th.
Thanks again, Dr. Christensen.
22. What does the woman want the man to do?
23. What kind of policy does the professor have for assignments?
24. What was the professor's attitude towards the student's problem?
25. What happened to Rob Metcalf, whose turn can be replaced by the woman?
1. In America, driver's education is part of the regular high school curriculum. Every student in his or her second year of high school is required to take a class in driver's education. However, unlike other courses, it is not given during the regular school year. Instead, it is a summer course. The course is divided up into two parts: class time for learning laws and regulations, and driving time to practice driving. Class time is not unlike any other class. The students have a text from which they study the basic laws they must know. Driving time is a chance for the students to practice starting steering, backing up, parking, switching lanes, turning corners, and all the other maneuvers required. Each student is required to drive a total of 6 hours. The students are divided into groups of four. The students and the instructor go out driving for 2 hours. Thus, each student gets half an hour driving time per outing. The instructor and the driver sit in the front seats, and the other three students sit in the back. Driver's education cars are unlike other cars in which they have two sets of brakes, one on the driver's side and one on the other side where the instructor sits. Thus, if the student driver should run into difficulties, the instructor can take over. The car also has another special feature. On the top of the car is a sign that reads "Student Driver." That lets nearby drivers know that they should use extra caution because the student driver is not very experienced and prone to driving slowly.
26. What is special about the driver's course in America? 27. What can students learn during class time? 28. How is the driver's education car designed in order to prevent accident? 2. Moods, say the experts, are feelings that are likely to be fixed, having effects on one's outlook for hours, days, weeks, or even years. That's great if your mood is a pleasant one, but it will be a problem if you are sad, anxious, angry, or simply lonely. Perhaps the best way to deal with such moods is to talk them out. Sometimes, though, there is no one to listen. Modern pharmacy offers a lot of anti-anxiety drugs. What many people don't realize, however, is that scientists have discovered the effectiveness of several non-drug methods to make you free from an unwanted mood. These can be just as useful as drugs and have the added benefit of being non-poisonous. So, next time you feel out of sorts, don't head for the drugstore. Try the following method. Of all the mood-changing self-help techniques, aerobic exercise seems to be the best cure for a bad mood. If you could keep the exercise, you'd be in high spirits, says Catherine Lance, author of Running for Health and Beauty. Researchers have explained biochemical and various other changes that make exercise seem preferable to drugs as a mood raiser. Physical work, such as housework, however, does little. The key is aerobic exercise running, cycling, walking, swimming, or other repetitive activities that increase the heart rate and circulation, and improve the consumption of oxygen. You may do them for at least 20 minutes a time, 3 to 5 times a week.
29. What is the effect of one's moods on people? What is the best way that most people don't realize to keep a good mood? 31. According to the speaker, why is aerobic exercise able to cheer people up? 3. The young people who talk of the village as being dead are talking nothing but nonsense, as in their hearts they must surely know. The village is not dead. There is more life in it now than there ever was. But it seems that village life is dead, gone forever. It began to decline about 100 years ago when many girls left home to go into service in town many miles away. And men also left home in increasing numbers in search of work. There are still a number of people alive today who can remember what village life meant. It meant knowing and being known by everybody else in the village. It meant finding your entertainment in the village, of within walking distance of it. It meant housewives tied to the home all day and every day. It meant going to bed early to save lamp oil and coal. Then came the First World War and the Second World War. After each war, new ideas, new attitudes, new trades and occupations were revealed to villagers. The long-established order of society was no longer taken for granted. Electricity and the motor car were steadily operating to make village life and town life almost alike. Now, with the highly developed science and technology and high-level social welfare for all, there is no point whatever in talking any longer about village life. It's just life, and a better life.
32. Why do some young people say that the village is dead? 33. How was the life of villagers in the past? 34. In the speaker's view, what brought about the change of village life today? 35. What does the speaker think of the village life today? 6. Most volcanoes are quiet. They rest peacefully for hundreds of years. No one pays much attention to them. Mount St. Helens was one of these volcanoes. Until 1980, It was a beautiful recreation area. Its last eruption had been 123 years ago. No one was worried about another one. In March 1980, Mount St. Helens began to make noises. At first, there were some shaking movements. Then, small eruptions occurred. Some residents left immediately. Others felt there was no danger. But on the morning of May 18, 1980, the mountain blew its top. With the power of 25 atomic bombs, Mount St. Helens exploded. Clouds of dust and ash rose more than 12 miles into the sky. Rocks and mud crashed down on the slopes. Unfortunately, many people were still living, camping, or working in the area. Over 40 people lost their lives. Others were rescued. Robert Baker was fishing with his family when the explosion happened. He reported that the morning of May 18th was strange. No birds were singing. The air was still. Then he saw a large black cloud coming down towards them. In minutes, day turned into night. He called his family to their van and they started on the slow, dark ride away from the mountain. All the time, hot ash was raining on them. But other people were not so lucky. David Johnson, a volcano expert, was standing near the summit of the mountain. At 8:31 a.m., he radioed, "This is it." He was never heard again. Mount St. Helens is peaceful now, but its slopes are empty. It will be many years before fish, plants, and trees will again live on the mountain. Now the passage will be read again. Most volcanoes are quiet. They rest peacefully for hundreds of years. No one pays much attention to them. Mount St. Helens was one of these volcanoes. Until 1980, it was a beautiful recreation area. Its last eruption had been 123 years ago. No one was worried about another one. In March 1980, Mount St. Helens began to make noises. At first, there were some shaking movements. Then, small eruptions occurred. Some residents left immediately. Others felt there was no danger. But on the morning of May 18, 1980, the mountain blew its top. With the power of 25 atomic bombs, Mount St. Helens exploded. Clouds of dust and ash rose more than 12 miles into the sky. Rocks and mud crashed down on the slopes. Unfortunately, many people were still living, camping, or working in the area. Over 40 people lost their lives. Others were rescued. Robert Baker was fishing with his family when the explosion happened. He reported that the morning of May 18th was strange. No birds were singing. The air was still. Then he saw a large black cloud coming down towards them. In minutes, day turned into night. He called his family to their van and they started on the slow, dark ride away from the mountain. all the time. Hot ash was raining on them. But other people were not so lucky. David Johnson, a volcano expert, was standing near the summit of the mountain. At 8:31 a.m., he radioed, "This is it." He was never heard again. Mount St. Helens is peaceful now, but its slopes are empty. It will be many years before fish, plants, and trees will again live on the mountain. Now the passage will be read for the third time. Most volcanoes are quiet. They rest peacefully for hundreds of years. No one pays much attention to them. Mount St. Helens was one of these volcanoes. Until 1980, it was a beautiful recreation area. Its last eruption had been 123 years ago. No one was worried about another one. In March 1980, Mount St. Helens began to make noises. At first, there were some shaking movements. Then, small eruptions occurred. Some residents left immediately. Others felt there was no danger. But on the morning of May 18, 1980, the mountain blew its top. With the power of 25 atomic bombs, Mount St. Helens exploded. Clouds of dust and ash rose more than 12 miles into the sky. Rocks and mud crashed down on the slopes. Unfortunately, many people were still living, camping, or working in the area. Over 40 people lost their lives. Others were rescued. Robert Baker was fishing with his family when the explosion happened. He reported that the morning of May 18th was strange. No birds were singing. The air was still. Then he saw a large black cloud coming down towards them. In minutes, day turned into night. He called his family to their van and they started on the slow, dark ride away from the mountain. All the time, hot ash was raining on them. But other people were not so lucky. David Johnson, a volcano expert, was standing near the summit of the mountain. At 8:31 a.m., he radioed, "This is it." He was never heard again. Mount St. Helens is peaceful now, but its slopes are empty. It will be many years before fish, plants, and trees will again live on the mountain.